Ricky, how do you approach a fast passage of music in your practice?
That's a great question. I think the first word that comes to mind is slow. Mm-hmm. You know, play it slowly and then gradually ramp up the speed. Mm-hmm. And even when I get it to that speed, always come back to playing it slow.
Right.
To kind of keep that section clean,
yeah.
You could say, free from bad habits, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very sensible. But Chang might actually have some other things to say about that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to explore slowness and ramping up the speed and some techniques around that, as well as three other major nugs from Chang in this episode. I think let's just dive right in. Part two, let's go.
I'm ready to go. Thanks, Chang.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to this episode of the Practice Project podcast from Encoder, your all-in-one digital sheet music app.
As always, in this episode, we'll be bringing you more research-based techniques to enhance your music practice, teaching, and playing.
Today is the second part of our double bill, looking at the key practice techniques covered in Chuan Chang's 2007 book, Fundamentals of Piano Practice.
But as we learned last time, many of Chang's techniques can definitely be applied to music practice more generally, not just the piano.
So don't worry if, like Ricky and I, you don't play the piano but another instrument. The key insights from Chang's book are equally valuable for all types of musicians and music teachers. First up today are Chuan Chang's thoughts on memorization. We all understand that a well-memorized piece can go a long way towards creating a well-performed piece.
Chang believes the quickest way of memorizing a piece is to memorize it when you're first learning it, and that for a difficult piece, there's no faster way of learning it than memorizing it.
But in his book, Chang introduces us to a new approach. He recommends memorizing the sound of a piece first, the melody, the rhythm, how it's structured, and how you want it to sound.
Then, using the sheet music, you should find and memorize each key for each note, complete with the relevant fingerings, hand motions, key signatures, and time signatures.
Chang calls this keyboard memory and explains it's much easier to achieve keyboard memorization of a piece once you know how the music should sound. This is because keyboard memory helps you to find the right notes without you having to read the music in your head.
Chang's final insight on memorization is that you should memorize each particularly difficult or technical section whilst you're in the process of repeating that section so many times.
He argues that the cognitive processes required for memorizing music are basically the same as those needed for learning the correct technique. So you may as well kill two birds with one stone.
Plus, if you try to memorize sections later, you have to repeat those same cognitive processes again, which isn't easy. Memorizing music is a complex cognitive task, even after you've learned to play the piece with the correct technique.
Which is why students who try to memorize a piece after learning how to play it correctly often have more trouble memorizing the whole piece effectively.
The second of Chang's techniques we'll look at today is mental play, which is actually very closely connected with memorization anyway.
Have you ever imagined playing a piece of music in your mind, note by note? Well, that is what Chang calls mental play. It's a powerful tool for reducing nerves or performance anxiety.
The thinking is that if you can play a piece flawlessly in your mind, you're halfway to a flawless physical performance. And Chang recommends mental play as a memorization tool as well.
You basically learn to play the piano in your mind, away from the piano itself, complete with accurate fingering and your concept of how you want the music to sound. So if you memorize a small section, close your eyes and see if you can also play it in your mind, not just on the piano.
This is also the time to analyze the structure of the music, how it's organized, and how the themes of the piece develop as it progresses, all of which help with memorization and mental play.
Chang reassures us that it only requires a small investment of time to become proficient at mental play, at which point you will have the mental confidence to play without mistakes, and you'll then be able to concentrate more on the music itself.
Lastly, from Chang's perspective, mental play can also help your technique. For example, it's much easier to play a piece at a fast speed once you can mentally play it at that speed.
With mental play, you can practice at a fast pace anytime, anywhere, and greatly increase your effective practice time.
So, together, memorization and mental play can solve some of the practical problems of technique and performance, and also advance your general musicianship.
Now it's time for a short break and a word from our colleague Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike Newman, Encoder's Institutional Partnerships Director. I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Practice Project podcast. You can make your practice even more effective with an Encoder subscription. You'll get access to over 110,000 titles from renowned publishers, advanced annotation tools, and much more. So, subscribe today and enhance your musical journey with Encoder.
Let's move on to speeding up your practice. Chang's advice is to get up to full playing speed as quickly as possible. But he also acknowledges that your technique will improve most rapidly when you play at a speed at which you can play accurately.
So playing too fast, too soon, so that you make mistakes, will not improve your technique. This is because you're practicing those mistakes and therefore acquiring bad habits.
According to Chang, forcing yourself to play the same way faster is not the way to increase speed. And it's also wrong to think you'll improve more quickly by playing as fast as you can. What you need are ways to increase your playing speed, but also minimize mistakes and stress.
The solution recommended by Chang is to gradually but consistently increase the speed of your practice. In other words, don't stay at one playing speed for too long.
And for more difficult passages, which may require some technical skills you don't already have, there's usually no alternative but to increase the speed of your playing in stages.
To achieve this, Chang suggests playing at a speed that is too fast as an experiment to determine what you need to work on in order to consistently play at higher speeds. Then slow down and work on the new motions you know will be necessary to play at greater speeds.
Using this technique, you can methodically ratchet up your playing speed in manageable jumps and work on each required skill separately as you progress.
Chang advises that, at the outset, getting up to full playing speed may seem unattainable, but with practice and discipline, most students can reach their objectives surprisingly quickly.
Slowing down also has its place, but beware, extended periods of slow play can be counterproductive.
This, combined with correct fingerings, ensures the best cognitive and memorization outcome. And consider saving deliberately slow play for the very end of your practice sessions.
Lastly, on the subject of playing speed, Chang advises that the most important thing to do as you get up to full speed is to relax and only use those muscles that are needed to play. So you can be working as hard as you need to and still be comfortable. This can take some time to get used to isolating these muscles and reducing tension. So be patient with yourself during this process.
Okay, the final topic for today is what Chang calls post-practice improvement. There is only a specific amount of improvement that any musician can expect to see during one practice session. This is because there are two major ways in which we can show improvement through practice.
The first is the clear improvement that comes from learning the relevant notes and motions, resulting in an immediate and tangible improvement in the way we play passages where we are already technically proficient.
The second one is the improvement that results after practice, from physiological changes that occur as we learn new techniques. This is a slow process that occurs gradually over weeks or months, because it can require the growth of new brain, nerve, and muscle cells.
So as you practice, Chang suggests gauging your progress so that you can stop as soon as you sense a point of diminishing returns has been reached. But your technique will keep improving by itself for a few days.
Post-practice improvement can be especially significant during sleep. We already know from episode 3 of this series, sleep is hugely important in the cognitive element of musical practice.
That's why Chang recommends practicing in the evening,
and wrapping up your session by playing a piece slowly, deliberately, and correctly. The most common mistake students make, which can negate post-practice improvement, is to play fast just before they stop practicing.
Instead, at the end of a practice session, Chang maintains you should play the best and most accurate example of what you want to achieve, usually at a moderate or slow speed. This seems to have a strong effect in the level of post-practice improvement that then occurs.
In essence, even after you finish practicing, your brain continues to process what you've learned. And the cumulative effect of this, occurring over months or years, can be huge. So today, from the array of practice techniques recommended by Chang in his book, we've covered memorization, mental play, speed of practice, and post-practice improvement.
By incorporating these strategies into your own practice sessions, there is no doubt you can enhance your learning, technique, and performance.
Not only that, you're also cultivating your musical understanding, reducing performance anxiety, and boosting the cognitive and other physiological changes that occur after practice.
That's all we have time for in this episode of the Practice Project podcast. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thanks so much, everyone. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe.